All right, let's begin with prayer, and then we'll jump in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray still that you would guide us. Guide us through our callings and vocations as Christians who live in this world, that we would be your faithful people and also faithful citizens as well. We ask these things through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Acts chapter 11 is where I want to have a start. And I do wish that I had a handout, what I want to cover today for you, but I don't have one to give you. So we're going to have to work without that. As I said last week, we're not having solved the problems of the world with respect to immigration, we are nevertheless moving on to talk about another kind of hot topic, which is the topic of Christian nationalism. I do not think that we will completely cover this topic either, nor do I think we will answer every question, and we certainly won't get through everything that I want to get through today. But we're going to give it a start. And I just want to ask, and this is kind of open forum in a way. We've had the chance to have some honest discussion. Probably you've heard things that maybe you question and say, I'm not sure how that fits. I'm not sure I would have said it that way in either direction. But when it comes to the phrase Christian nationalism, what are your reactions? What comes to mind? Maybe you've not, well, I'd have to think everyone's at least heard the phrase, but some of you may hear it and say, I just want to avoid thinking about it because I know it's a hot topic, and others may dive into it. Joanne, what is your?
Well, when I hear it all, when I think of it, my dad was in World War II, so we grew up waving flags, you know. But I think of it as being grateful that God put me here.
Okay. So when you think of Christian nationalism or being a Christian nation, you think of flag waving, World War II. I've been reading a World War II history book, which is, it's amazing stories. And you think of gratefulness for the nation that we live in.
Yes.
Okay. Other ideas, associations. Debbie, we'll start at the back.
I think of in Germany with the Lutheran churches when Hitler went in and took over the churches.
Okay, draw the connection for me.
The connection being that he went in and they put their flag, and the pastors went along with him, basically taking over the church.
So in a sense, do you associate then Christian nationalism with like a Christian Germany?
Yes.
In which
the Christian church actually was, it was desecrated. It was, desecrated. And in the name of Hitler, actually, they were having to have underground services and everything.
Right.
A lot of the pastors just went along with it.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what I think of. I think of, and they had no choice.
So for you?
No choice.
Yeah. So for you, the term brings up maybe some fear about what that would mean or
Absolutely.
Look like?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It will go with freedom.
That Christian nationalism would be sort of an end of Christianity in a way. And an exaltation of the nation.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Dave?
So I think of cultural Christianity when you say this.
Okay.
Cultural Christianity is almost like Christianity without Christ.
Okay.
It's like, you know, do good works, do good things, but you don't need to talk about Christ.
So the word Christian there for you doesn't actually say much about Christ, but it has a lot of connotations, especially with respect to the law.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Luann?
I think of it in terms of like when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, or it's one nation under God.
Okay.
So it's a nation that's kind of founded on or tries to live by Christian principles.
Okay.
With a faith in Christ and a faith in God through whatever Christian religion you choose to be a part of.
Okay, so one nation under God. When we say Christian principles, I would say, in part, what you're probably identifying is the same thing that Dave just mentioned, which is, it's not necessarily a faith in Christ. That would be ideal. But a faith in sort of Christian living sort of atmosphere.
Okay.
Right. Ed, and then Ed.
We're all talking about an American context.
Yes.
There's nothing in the term Christian nationalism that has anything to do with America. I think of Constantine and the whole Middle Ages and what was going on in the 12th century all the way in terms of the church influencing France and Germany and Austria and all the European
okay.
countries.
So you would look at it with a historical context of sort of Christian rulers, maybe you could say, and what they did in their lands. Ed.
Schaefer.
So in the contemporary context of American politics and everything, I take it as a way Christians want to control
Control
the government.
The government, okay. So that it stands in for this sort of idea of Christians being in charge of everything and making maybe everything in their Christianish image. All right, there are probably more responses. However many of us there are in here, we could probably all give a response of some sort. Couple of things out of those responses. And this is before we get into the word on this. One is, you can see the wide variety of associations that people have with this term. I'm kind of patriotic, and I love my country, and kind of isn't that what this means, to the maybe the last, first and last ones, right? Ed's association of, in a lot of modern discourse, current discourse, it's the idea of making America into a nation that is Christian by having Christians in charge who establish things on the basis of Christianity. Dave and maybe Luann bring up that question of, what does that term Christian mean? And is it really related to Christ? And Debbie brings up the point of, there is a historical precedence, perhaps in ways, for thinking of Christian nations, Christian rulers, but also a takeover of the Christian church that really corrupted Christianity. This is one reason, it's not the only reason, but it's one reason why I do not think that Christian nationalism is a helpful term in discourse, or especially a helpful term for us to embrace or use.
Let me give you a different perspective.
Okay, you can give
what
me one
about
more.
London-style and Ireland-style that have been taken over by another religion.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, London-style is no longer... No longer run by the English, it's okay. Run by the Muslims.
So draw the connection for us.
Well, the connection is, if Christians don't assert influence in this country,
okay.
That could very well happen. It's happening in Texas little by little. Mm-hmm. It's happening in Minneapolis little by little. It's happening in a number of places where they're electing people mm-hmm. and they're conducting Sharia law. So as a Christian who loves my country,
yes.
I certainly don't want to see them go to a non-Judeo-Christian value set.
Right.
And that's really what we're talking about. Do we live under a Judeo-Christian value mm-hmm. set, or do we live under something else?
Yeah, so let me ask or say a couple of things with respect to that. So the question in my mind then is, Carl, are you setting it up as the alternatives are Christian nationalism or Sharia law? Or is there some other space in there?
I will say
because I'm not
others,
yeah.
The others don't have, it's their way, and they're working very hard to make it their way.
Sure, yeah. But I guess my point is, in terms of actors politically, it's not just those who favor Sharia law and Christians. You've got a lot of other people as well.
Certainly. They work together, too. The leftists in this country work directly with the Muslims to gain power.
I mean, I can't really comment on that particularly. But so what I want to get at with that is, when you set it up in that way, it seems to be you have these two options, right? Christian nationalism or Sharia law.
Again, I'm not looking at some Nazi sort of thing.
Right.
And we're in the church, you know, we're going to have...
And maybe what I hear from you most of all, Carl, is the desire for Christians to be active in civil society, which is something we definitely want to encourage, right? So I don't want any of this class to be a, like, let's just get out of the public square and not be concerned about our country. But I think we need to think about our use of this language. So, Paul, you had a hand.
Yeah. So when talking about, like, is there only two options, then you mentioned, is there a third option? And that third option would, most people would say that's just like secular government where everything is just kind of neutral.
Yeah.
I would say that that's probably, you know, a religion by itself. So it's kind of a third religious option.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, discussions in the Senate, you know, people are trying to say, like, you know, like Professor Bierman might say that we might want this kind of secular society where, you know, freedom of religion reigns, and then others might say, you know, we need to kind of more embrace this Christian nationalism because secular society isn't neutral.
I think you're right in the sense of secular society is not necessarily neutral. Like, everything does have a sort of the sort of idea that we can have a society where religion doesn't come into play is a sort of religious decision, right? There's something religious about that. I'm not sure that everyone falls neatly into categories in that way. And here's where I want to go next, because we could keep this conversation about definitions going, but I want to move into thinking about what do we mean when we use the term Christian, or what should we mean when we use the term Christian. So that's where I want to go next. Like I said,
Christian nationalism should be the value set of the Judeo-Christian values that this country was built on, that were instantiated in our Constitution.
So you can say that's what it should mean, Carl, but we've already heard, like, eight different...
because it's been negativized by...
No. Eight different definitions that I think are all legitimate definitions according to certain ways and ideas of looking at these things. So you can say, here's my definition, and this is what we should mean, but that doesn't mean everyone else is going to use it in that way. And I don't know... I mean, if you want to give it that background, I still don't know that it would be worth fighting for that language in the way that this term has been, you know, vilified, rightly in some cases, right? So thinking about the word Christian, what is the word Christian connected to?
Christ.
Okay, obviously Christ, yeah. So Christian nationalism is putting Christian on nationalism. Where does the term first come from?
I mean, it seems to be an oxymoron.
What book are you open to?
Acts.
What chapter?
11.
Let's look at Acts chapter 11. Great work, Joanne. Acts chapter 11. What I want to get at is, like, where does this term come from and what does it mean? Before we start attaching it to other things. And I think one thing that we're going to find is that Christian nation or Christian nationalism is a language taking an adjective with a noun that's very foreign to the thinking of the Bible. So, we call ourselves Christians. Why? Acts chapter 11, looking at verse 26. We can start at verse 25, I guess. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. What does the word Christian mean there?
Followers of Christ.
Believers in Christ.
Pre
preachers,
followers of Christ, those who hear the word and believe it. Speaking of individual members of this community, it seems to be the case, I don't know that it's necessarily so here, but you know, this attempt in the early church to figure out what is we don't see this from the same perspective 2,000 years later, but early on, what is Christianity and where does it fit? Is Christianity just a type of Judaism? Is Christianity a brand new religion? Where does it fit? And here we see this working out, where rather than being called, I don't know, whatever else they might be called, they have now the identification of Christian. Question, when we think about Christian nation or Christian nationalism, can a nation believe in Christ?
No.
Yes.
Well, it would be ideal.
Yeah. We, like a nation, can believe in Christ, but is it realistic to think that every member of that nation is going to believe in Christ?
So what does it mean for a nation to believe in Christ if the members don't believe in Christ?
Then the nation as a whole does not believe in Christ.
What I want to get at is the label Christian is given to believers in Christ, to people, and not to a nation, right, in that sort of sense. Caden, were you waiting to say something? No? Okay. Eric?
Yeah, a Christian believes in the fulfillment of Judaism in the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And not only him, but also what he taught was the real meaning behind Scripture, behind the Old Testament and his Father.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not only belief in Jesus, but also in what he said.
Okay, yeah, I'd go along with that. Friendly amendment, as they say in Robert's Rules of Order. So Christians here are the people. And I think that's important to hold on to. I don't know, even if you had every member of a community being Christian, let's say every member of Westminster was Christian, would we say that Westminster is Christian, or would we say that the people of Westminster are Christian? So that's one thing. When we use this term Christian every Sunday, most Sundays. Sometimes we use a different word. Where does that word Christian show up in our service on Sundays? In the Apostles' Creed, when we say Holy Christian Church or Holy Catholic Church. We could get into that discussion of why you have those two different words that get used. Both are legitimate and good, but the church being described as Christian, made up of believers in Christ. I don't know how you would use the term in a similar way. You could use the term, but you'd have to change the meaning of it to speak about something like a Christian nation. Because you cannot have a nation in which you know that you've got believers in Christ, that everyone believes. There we come back to the definition that Dave gave, which is typically what we mean by Christian is not believing in Christ, but Judeo-Christian values, which are good and fine, but it's not quite the same thing. Right? All right, Dave and then Paul.
There are atheists, even, who would love to see us be a Christian nation. In other words, have Christian values.
Yes.
But they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Christ or anything, but they like what happens when a country has or lives with those Christian values.
Yeah, what's interesting is some of those are atheists who were the most stridently opposed to Christianity 20 years ago, who are looking at, I guess, our culture and society and saying, we're kind of missing something. Maybe that Christian stuff was fine as long as you leave Jesus out of it. Which, what do you have left of Christianity? Nothing, really, fundamentally. Paul, you?
I'd say, and how can we think of nations as Christians? Christians, we make confessions of Christ. We write or adhere to, things like the Oxford Confession.
Right.
Nations make their confession of what they believe in their constitution. And where is that law based from? Is it based on, natural law, the Ten Commandments, things like that. And so that's how I would define what a Christian nation is, even if nobody is actually a Christian in that nation.
Okay, yeah, so again, that sort of Christian, maybe morality, you might say, in a way.
Just like, what is the nation's confession that they have?
Maybe the question would be, does a nation necessarily have to make a confession about God?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, even if they say that they don't, I would say that by not making one, they have made one.
Yeah, I think I disagree with you, but I'm not. I'd have to dive into the weeds a little bit more on that. So, this word Christian, they were first called Christians in Antioch, believers in Christ. The Holy Christian Church, which is not an outward institution, but all of those who believe in Christ, again, a different thing. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, where we were today, because we also have language there that I think is worth looking at. First Peter chapter 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, again to say, and some of this, when it gets into, what do I want to say, hot topics of current things, there is room for disagreement. So I'm not up here saying you have to agree with me on everything. The word, absolutely. Right? I'm happy for some pushback, but I where was I going to go with that? I lost my train of thought. I think it went over that direction. Find it, Sandy, let me know. So, with that I was going to say, in part, some of these things, like what we've talked about definitions-wise, to me seem pretty benign. If Christian nationalism is what Joanne said, like, I don't know that there's a whole lot of problem with that. I just don't think that's how it's being used or what the majority of people mean by that. Being patriotic, right? Absolutely, let's be patriotic. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, Ed and Luann, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 2.
One of the things that makes this country great, right in the beginning, that we don't have, we're not required to be Christians here. If you came to America, you could be anything, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, atheist, anything that makes this country great. That being said, my favorite president, even though he wasn't very powerful, was Jimmy Carter. He taught Sunday school classes while he was president.
Yeah.
And that just reflected such good values that he has.
I have to go back historically. I don't know that it's true that from the beginning anyone could come, but I'm not sure. I mean, Massachusetts itself had laws, even after the Revolution, about who could serve in office. You couldn't be Muslim. You couldn't be Hindu, right? I mean,
that was in the state constitution.
Right, state constitution.
Not in
federal,
not
yeah. Federal didn't have that. But I'm just saying, I think the openness that we see today is a little bit different than the openness that was there before. Luann?
What I was going to say is, you know, we're talking about Christian nationalism, but I don't know that there's any religion that is a nationalistic religion. I mean, like, some people may say Iran is Muslim nationalism. Yeah. Yet we know there are Christians Iran.
Yeah, in this sense, two things. One is, when you have a government that's ruled by people who have a religious ideology and are very clear about that, I would say you could call that a Muslim nation. The other thing is that Islam doesn't seem to know what we've talked about a lot in this class, this sort of relationship, but what do I want to say? The identification of the church and state as separate spheres.
Okay.
For Islam, at least much of Islam, those are the same thing. There is no difference.
And I think going back to what Carl was saying or what you were saying, is we need active Christians, believers in Christ, to continue spreading the word, because there are Muslims who have converted to Christianity.
Oh yeah, so, okay, two things to add for Christians. We need active Christians who are involved in government, right? I'll say that to start with. The second is, we definitely need active Christians who are bearing witness, who are persuading, and who are examples in daily life of Christianity. Absolutely. That is fundamental to who we are. The old Sunday school, hide it under a bushel basket. Did any of you guys sing that one? Right? What's the answer, Karen? No, don't hide it under a bushel basket. Right? Let the little light shine. Right, this little light of mine. 1 Peter chapter 2, here's the part I wanted to look at here, verses 9 and 10. I didn't focus on this in the sermon, but 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What word jumps out to you here? Okay, mercy jumps out for sure.
You're a nation. But when I read that, I think of a nation in sense of
not
a people.
Right.
Yes.
Not a government.
Christian people.
Correct.
Not a geographic kind of...
A distinct and set apart people.
You know?
Right.
And what's interesting is that that's the way that Peter uses that term, which we pick up in English and use in a different way. In other words, Peter here is not looking at nation as a governmental entity, but as a people set apart by God to be his people. And again, we've talked about this before. In terms of identity, I think it's so vital for us to retain this identity. And this is distinct from the Old Testament. If you were using the term holy nation in the Old Testament, who would you be speaking of?
Jews,
or people who have attached themselves to God's people, Israel. We probably should say Israel in that sense. So Peter's very clear, like, holy nation is not what it used to be. God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament, this is the people who are called out of darkness into light in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's striking to me that Peter uses this language, but we would prefer to see Christian nation. Christians in our society gravitate toward, rather than we are a holy nation as God's Christians, that we want a Christian nation. Kind of what Ed said in its most, Ed Schaefer, in its most extreme forms, wanting to sort of take the Bible as a map of how everything should be run. I don't think that's, A, possible to do, and I'm not sure that would even be healthy to do. Ed?
First, confusion I'm hearing. Nationalism is not the same as patriotism.
Yes.
It's two totally different things.
Yes.
Nationalism, just looking at Webster's dictionary, is an attitude of superiority. Your nation is better than all others. Your way of thinking is better than all others. Mm-hmm. It's an attitude of arrogance. So if you take that subset, now try to combine that with Christian. That's where I say it's an oxymoron.
So the nationalism defined as better than all others does not fit at all with that adjective Christian. The other thing that I do want to put out there is that Christian nationalism at times, again, this is not universal. This is where you could run across things that are read or written or said that are not going to match this. But there is a stream of Christian nationalism that you could say is not only sort of trying to be a Christian nationalism, but also has another adjective attached, which is the adjective white. There is in some a racial component, or seems to be a racial component to this as well. And this is, again, one of the reasons why, I mean, along with the definitional reason, I'm not sure that it's healthy or helpful to try to grab a hold of the term and hold on to it in the way I want to define it. When going into a conversation, I'm going to have to convince someone that this is how it's defined and then argue for it. Luann?
So On that same vein, that's what I was thinking. I mean, I remember growing up and we'd sing the song, and you'll know we are Christians by our love.
Okay.
But there are Christians, and I'm going to put that in quotes, that kind of bastardize the way I would define Christianity as, because they use Christianity as a basis sometimes for hate and intolerance of those who aren't Christians, which is in direct contradiction to the Bible when we talked about the Samaritan being our neighbor, and who should we love.
Right.
So how could we ever have a Christian nation if we can't all agree on what is a Christian?
Yeah, well, and I just want to circle back again and say, I'm not sure that that's the thing to be aiming for, right? Respect for the Judeo-Christian values on which our country was founded, great. Wanting to support those in some way, fine. Trying to make a Christian nation, I see that fundamentally as shooting for something that's different than what the scriptures speak about. And you know, sorting those things out, I think, is an important and helpful thing to do as Christians. This gets back to that distinction that we talked about back at the beginning. What is the church, and what is the state? And how does God rule each of these, and what are they for? I was, just one more note, listening to a podcast this week from someone who is a kind of notable proponent of Christian nationalism. Interesting to me that he would also distinguish certain types of Christian nationalism that he doesn't like. But he said he rooted it in Matthew 28, when Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he said, that's primary, but then teaching them to observe all things. And he took that to mean that basically, in some way, we should observe, even in the same way they're written, all the things that are in the Old Testament. Even to the point of some of the laws, including the punishments that are prescribed in the Old Testament. And I don't hear those words of Jesus in Matthew 28. He's pointing to everything that he taught and to all of the scriptures, but I don't hear Jesus saying, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything, including how to establish a Christian nation on the basis of Old Testament law. I don't think that's there in Matthew 28. All right, Jim, Eric, Dave, Patrick, you had a hand. Yours might have been first. So let's go for you, and then we'll work our way
back. Pass for
you want to go back to it?
Nope.
Okay, Jim?
Nationalism is a political thing.
Yes.
Then Christians, according to in this first Peter, that we should go amongst the Gentiles as Christians so they can see by our examples
right. Who
we are and what we are.
Absolutely.
And although there are other faiths throughout this world that are very much against anything but their own faith, and to the point of annihilation. Mm. And Judaism, where we had based, basically, where we came from, the Old Testament and the New Testament with Jesus Christ.
Sorry, no, I was pointing for...
New Testament with Jesus Christ does make us Christians.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think, what does it mean to be a Christian? We have to bear witness to the world. We are to be the salt of the earth. This is the way Jesus speaks. But that salt is not about how we create a Christian government. It's about how we live as Christians within our calling.
But also in the military, Christians like Vietnam, people from Laos, the Palms, and Muslims, and they were all blended. Still fighting against a common enemy.
I think so. One thing, absolutely, that when Peter speaks about being a holy nation, he's not speaking about an ethnic identity. right? These are from every nation, every people, every tongue, every tribe. Eric?
Going back when Jesus was preaching, and there were a lot of people that differed. You had the zealots. Taking over. You had the Pharisees that were getting as much as they could out of everybody. But you had to follow the rules. He spoke out against them, yes, but it wasn't with any agreements other than they're wrong. And come to me, and everything will be quiet and good. Okay? If you follow me, Christ, then you're all set. What others are doing, that's their problem. Follow Christ, even as Stephen, even unto death.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we're going to pause. Dave, you want one more, and then we'll pull it together for today.
When you were talking, you said that this, whoever was talking about Christian nationalism, said something about teach them all things. What my translation says is, Jesus said, teach them what I have to do.
Right.
Which is different than all things, to me.
Well, he does use the word all, right? But, teach them all the things I have commanded. That is, to see the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ, not just reestablishing the Old Testament.
Teach them all that I have commanded. So you need to go back and look at, okay, what did Jesus really command?
Yep.
Certainly not the temple sacrifices and all
that. Yeah, exactly. So there is a distinction. There's a transformation of the Old Testament in the person of Christ. I promised you we weren't going to wrap this up today, and I think I kept my promise on that. So we're going to pick this thread up again next Sunday and dive a little bit further into this language of Christian nationalism and how we may think about, continue our thinking of being Christians in this world, this time, and this place. Let's close with prayer, and I see the Sunday school kids popping in, so we'll retrieve the children after this. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask for wisdom still. As we try to rightly discern and chart a path as Christians in this time and place, that we may rightly know how to hold on to the faith, how to confess the faith, how to bear witness to the faith, how to be the salt and light that you have called us to be, and yet rightly understand the place of our Christianity within the world today. We pray, first of all, that we would be called Christians on the basis of faith in Christ, and that you would make us and keep us as members of the Holy Christian Church, and make us a people set apart, a holy nation in Christ, as Christians. And then we pray, Lord, that we may bear witness in the world, and that your good and gracious will would be done, even here on earth. We pray that you would govern and guide both the church and the government, that through both hands you may bring what is good and proper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.